How do Stargate portals work? If voodoo dolls are real, why is my ex's fiancé Greg still alive? Answers to these questions and more on this episode of
This Paranormal Life!
Hello and welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the weekly comedy podcast where every Tuesday we dive into a different paranormal case, tale, beast, lore, and by the end of the episode, decide whether this investigation is truly paranormal or not. As always, you are joined by me, professional paranormal investigator, Kit Greer Mulvenna, and of course, my co-investigator sitting across from me, Mr. Rory Powers. How are you doing today, Rory?
Back again on the podcast. Gotta be my favorite time of the week. You know, when we get to sit down here and investigate some of the weirdest shit in this world. Just below that, second favorite time of the week is when the court allows me to see my kids on the weekend for about 45 minutes.
Wow.
You know, I love to sit down once a week and talk about demons that can ruin your life, but the kids don't want to hear about their mother.
All right. You say you're allowed to see them once a week for 45 minutes. I know for a fact that is just the court-appointed time once a week you're supposed to pay your child support. And you insist that you do it in cash, which is the only reason you get to see them at all.
I say, Daddy's here with two sacks, burlap sacks with dollar signs on them. Most weekends, they mug me and leave.
It's not mugging if they're legally entitled to it, though, is it?
I got divorced. My ex-wife mugged me for half my stuff.
Well, Rory, you actually might get a break from thinking about demons, whether that be your ex, Sally, or...
Sally's one of the good ones.
Oh, okay.
I want to hear a bad word about Sally.
Or...
Michelle, however...
Michelle,
yeah, because it was all about her. That's what I used to call her. She hated that. Me, Michelle.
Right. Not Michelle, yeah.
No.
Because I think Michelle is just like French Michael, essentially.
Yeah, she did have a penis. It might have been a guy.
She did have a penis. Great. Sure, whether that be Michelle or...
But don't get me started on my ex-husbands.
Nosferatu. Okay, we got to keep it on the rails here.
Derek, nice. Craig, monster. Steven, sometimes nice. Sometimes he got a case of the Craigs. Monster.
Monster in the sack is what I mean to say. Because to be clear, we're not talking about monsters or demons today. We're talking about a paranormal phenomenon. In fact, an entire school of thought within the supernatural realm, one that has gone out of fashion as the world has become more secular and boring.
Yeah.
But actually still exists to this day, is practiced in dark corners of the world, and we're going to shine a light on with this episode of This Paranormal Life.
Whoa, okay, I love it.
I say let's just get right into it. The sooner we get into it, the sooner we can start wielding this power like an X-Men movie.
Yes.
Like Magneto himself. Let's get into it. Reminder, patreon.com/thisparanormallife is where you can get bonus episodes of this show, hundreds and hundreds of them, as well as other cool rewards in return for supporting this show for as little as $5 a month. We've been doing it for like 8 years. There's so much over there. There's a whole community of thousands of people hanging out, posting every week, reacting to stuff over there.
It's time for us to mug you.
No,
every month.
No, it's not mugging. It's a fair exchange of stuff.
You're starting to sound like Craig, to be honest.
Link is in the description of this podcast. Check it out, along with the links to our UK tour.
Oh,
we are on tour in the UK this October around Halloween, going to Glasgow, Manchester, London, and Dublin, coming to a city near you for a fantastic live podcast. Can't wait to do it. Pick up your tickets now. To set the scene for today's investigation, we have to turn the clock back over 130 years. It's 1891, and Irishman William John Warner has just arrived at an upmarket house in Mayfair, Londinium. Warner has a very particular skill, and in recent months has been creating something of a stir in high society Victorian London.
Ah. Mr. Cairo, thank you awfully for coming. If you would, please follow me to the smoking room and we'll have you set up in there.
Very well, ma'am.
Now, the gentleman who wants to avail your services tonight is very important indeed. But please, Cairo, just perform the procedure as you would normally. Through here, I've set up a curtain.
Cairo entered the room and sat down behind a temporary curtain. He switched on a lamp beside him and waited. A few moments later, he heard the door open and the lady of the house guiding her visitor inside. They were seated on the other side of the curtain, and when the lady left, a man's hand came through the curtain. You see, Cairo might be an Irishman with a particular set of skills. But he wasn't Liam Neeson in Taken. He was a palm reader.
Got it. Lead with that. Before we go into the room, lead with that. Tell me that. Because a man with a certain particular set of skills, yeah, you can find them online too.
whoa, take it in a dark way.
Not a dark way.
Dark way. A palm reader, also known as a palmist, chirologist, or hand reader, is someone who practices palmistry.
Sorry. I'm just laughing at the word.
Oh.
Palm reader, palm master, or palm lord is someone who studies palmistry. I know. I get it. I pieced that together.
They live in a
palmistry is not a word.
They live in the that's the title of this episode, so it better be. They live in a palm tree and they eat the fruit of the palm tree.
Saying you're a master in palmistry is what you would say right before you slap someone across the face.
It's also making me quite self-conscious because we've established on this podcast through trial and error over many years, we can't say the word film.
Film.
Because Irish people say film.
Two syllables. Film.
And so I'm a bit on edge about that I'm going to start saying palum.
Palum?
But no, palm.
They'll come for us anyway, no matter what we say.
The word refers to a supernatural technique and the topic of today's investigation. Palm readers like Cairo are said to be able to determine a person's character and even predict their future by studying, yes, their hands.
Okay.
I'm going to stop using the P word. Whilst many believe this to be nothing more than a sham pseudoscience, many others subscribe to the practice. And as we'll see, the story of Cairo is evidence that this deeply permeated the upper echelons of society.
You know, we can joke and giggle all we want, but this profession was the original hand job.
All right.
It was people making a living based off of the art of the hand, reading the hand.
No, the original hand job was like, I guess, like building the pyramids or something, like lifting and laying blocks.
Right, they actually achieved something with it. Yeah, that's to be fair.
Kind of every job was a hand job, if you think about it, before like the year 1900, probably.
Before we made robots?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Before we made, because even like using a typewriter.
That's a hand job.
Yeah, technically, when you think about it.
Yeah. I guess professional soccer players, that's a foot job. Okay, I'm going to stop.
When you think about it, everything can be broken down. Every job in the world can be broken into hand job, foot job, or oral. Now, what we do is oral because
we
talk for a living.
Yeah. And then once the oral's complete, you can finish off with your hands. You need to upload it and edit it.
Right, type up descriptions, titles,
exactly.
Things like that.
Yeah, I like this.
I'm going to cut this entire bit from the podcast. But if you think about it, it is kind of true.
Yeah. Construction worker, that's a hand job. Yeah.
Lawyer, also a hand job. Yoga teacher, kind of a hand job and a foot job combined.
Lawyer is a hand job and oral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you're fighting for your life orally. Sometimes fighting for someone else's life.
This is uncomfortable news for everybody. No one wants to hear that their sandwich artist at Subway has been performing hand jobs all day. But they have.
Hand jobs on a 6-incher.
Second episode talking about 6-inch cock jokes at Subway. Back at the house in Mayfair, Cairo proceeded reading the pair of mysterious hands. He described the evening in his memoirs. My subject seemed to enjoy the experience immensely.
I bet.
Once or twice, he asked some question, and occasionally he withdrew his hands to make notes. As the session progressed, Cairo revealed his findings. By simply studying the man's hands, he was able to state certain days and dates that had particular personal importance. A reply came from behind the curtain.
Strange, and yet that is remarkably true.
Excited by the progress, the subject shuffled in his chair with just a little too much enthusiasm, and the evening took a dramatic turn. Just then, he leaned on the curtain a little too much, and the pins came out. The curtains dropped at our feet.
and I found myself sitting face to face with the Prince of Wales.
Whoa!
I must have looked frightened or shocked because he rushed to say,
"You have no need to be nervous. You have done splendidly, and it is the first time in my life that I've had genuine satisfaction with this kind of thing. Go on with this curious idea of numbers that you have got. Forget who I am, and be just as much at your ease as you were before."
Cairo went on with the process, gleaning information about the future King of England. Before his work was done, he made two chilling predictions. Cairo told the future king, "You will not die, sir, until you are in your 69th year, but a namesake will give up his crown for love." Edward did indeed die at 68, brackets, during his 69th year. And his grandson and namesake, Edward VIII, gave up the throne in 1936 to marry the American socialite Wallis Simpson. This was completely unheard of at the time and caused a constitutional crisis. Had Cairo predicted this abdication 30 years earlier? And Cairo's list of high-profile clients didn't end there. He revealed spookily accurate information about a whole series of famous and significant people. It said that he told Lord Kitchener that he would die by drowning. And chillingly, when the revered British Army officer sailed to Russia on a diplomatic mission during World War I, the ship he was on board hit a mine and went down in the North Atlantic.
Whoa!
Kitchener was never seen again. Who is Kitchener? Most of our listeners are asking, and I didn't want to ask, but I had to look it up. This is him. That guy.
Wow. It's the... I don't know if it's the guy, but it's, you know, the very famous "we want you" guy.
Yes.
Big handlebar Bridget, mustache.
"We want you."
Naval hat. You. Yeah.
Haters will say that's AI, that mustache.
That's crazy.
It's the biggest mustache I've ever seen.
That's pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie.
Rory, what do you know about palmistry?
Literally nothing.
Nothing.
I know it exists as a concept, reading kind of the lines and patterns on someone's hand.
Yeah.
To have their future told to them. I think I did it once before. I was at an event where that was like one of the like novelty kind of acts that they had. I think it was like the launch for an Assassin's Creed game.
That's the only way you were getting a hand job that night. Yeah.
And they had like an old timey marketplace. So there was like old timey shit you could do. And one of them was like, "Go see the psychic who can like tell the future and read your palm." So I have my palm read. I'm interested to hear today how closely this is kind of linked with the world of, you know, star signs and that sort of stuff. I always get confused. Is that astronomy or astrology?
Yeah, astrology.
Astrology.
Not to be confused.
And I think I've said some bad things about that on the podcast before, mostly that I don't believe in it. And I think it's nonsense. That isn't to throw shade at anyone who does.
I think that does kind of by definition throw shade at people who do practice it.
Yeah. Maybe came at you a little hard there.
Yeah. You said it was an utter waste of time.
I never said that. I never said that.
What did you say? It was a sham or something?
Hey, listen here. And I'm telling you a bit of advice. Uh-huh. You know, who you are as a person is decided by who you are. It's not written in the stars. It's not because you popped out of a vagina in May instead of September. You get to make your own choices every day, all right? And you should think about that.
That is such a Scorpio thing to say. It really is. It really is.
Well... You'd be wrong there because as my family knows, I'm a Cancer.
I couldn't remember. God damn it.
Yeah, that's right.
I know. I think we have talked about it before. I'm way more agnostic about astrology, I will say. And I think my overriding opinion about astrology is I find it really interesting how angry it makes people.
Right.
It's like a thing. It's like a thing online that if anyone mentions astrology, it's normally... civil members of society will take to the comments in huge numbers to be like, "Shut up, stupid idiot, not real."
And I don't want to be that person. I think it's too easy to slide into that. And I do. I like to respect everyone's beliefs and even something that me personally, I'm not into. You know, ultimately, if it helps you understand the world and who you are as a person, go for it. I think it's great. You know, same with tarot cards. I don't practice that, but I know some people, it gives them a lot of like joy or guidance in life. So I say, yeah.
I think my problem is that people, like, isn't there, there's like a phrase people say, but like they'll just literally copy paste it into conversations online. They'll say the stars and moons and planets will not affect your life. I'm like, my brother in Christ, have you heard of the ocean and the tides? I'm pretty sure the moon has a pretty large impact on Earth. Don't they? I think if the moon disappeared, wouldn't Earth explode? I might be making that up. But no, but the entire tidal system and ocean system of the world depends on the moon.
I guess so you could say then it affects the ocean, not the humans. The ocean affects the humans.
Yeah, but I think the point is that like we live in an ecosystem that we're part of that is that it's like the stars and the moon won't affect your life. It's like, I don't know. They say if the sun moves 5 centimeters backwards from where it is, we'll all freeze to death. If there's a burst of solar radiation, all the electricity on Earth would just be destroyed in an instant. The moon controls the ocean. Aren't we 98% water or cabbage or something?
Yeah, you know who said that the stars wouldn't affect them? The dinosaurs. And look what happened to those motherfuckers.
So I'm being slightly facetious, but I've always found it a really funny argument to make. It's like, I think out of every type of mysterious belief, the stars and moons are very physical objects in our solar system that actually impact daily life more than anything. In fact, the rotation of the stars and moon determines what a year is, what a day is, when it is night and when it is day.
They're also really pretty to look at, which is cool too, if it's really dark outside.
Yeah, that too. And then we're also not getting into the conversation of, I do like to wonder how many people who rag on astrology also practice religion, but we'll get into that later. Yes, but you are right, Rory. It's one of those topics like tarot, like scrying. These are like almost, you know, Jungian archetypes that we go through life never really thinking about consciously, but yet you kind of get popped out into the world having some kind of built-in conception of them. Realistically, through things like media, I think when we covered scrying on the podcast, which is lots of different things, but you know, the most popular conception is looking into a crystal ball.
Yep.
I think I was almost having like a meltdown on the podcast where I was like, where did this come from? Like, why do we all know like about gazing into a crystal ball and yet no one's ever seen someone do it? We've probably all just seen it in a movie once.
Yeah, it's just a big thing in pop culture. Maybe it had its place in history at some point, but yeah.
But isn't it trippy that these things that are supposedly completely irrelevant to culture in the modern age are still really deeply embedded in our psyche?
Yeah.
And palmistry is one of those things. We never think about it. Most of us will never do it. And yet we kind of know exactly what it is. Reading those little lines on your hand to try and glean something about it.
All right. Well, hey, I'm excited to learn more.
Well, in the meantime, getting back to Cairo, his memoirs are a fascinating insight into high society's belief in the paranormal at this time. They contain numerous meetings with a string of high-profile British politicians, as well as notable names in the arts. One evening, thought to be in 1888, Cairo had done a series of readings for a party for an assortment of London socialites and members of the aristocracy. Having finished up for the night, he was about to leave when he was asked to do one more reading.
You should do it. You should do it.
No, no, it's not for me.
Oh, go on, Oscar. Don't be shy.
A pair of hands came through the curtain. Cairo later remarked that he thought little of the, quote, rather fat hands and was surprised when he learned they belonged to the most talked of man in London at that moment, one of the greatest playwrights of all time, Oscar Wilde, a guy who was pretty good at hand jobs. Not a sexual innuendo, he was a great writer. Cairo, who had a suspicion, fair enough, about who he was reading, spoke calmly and matter-of-factly through the curtain.
Sir, each hand tells me different things. The left always denotes the hereditary tendencies, while the right shows developed or attained characteristics. When we use the left side of the brain, the nerves cross and go to the right hand, so that the right consequently shows the true nature and development of the individual. I point this out because I notice the most unusual destiny of brilliancy and uninterrupted success in the left,
which will be completely broken and ruined at a certain date in the right. In other words, the left hand is the hand of a king, but the right, that of a king who will send himself into exile.
Read the room, but it's a party. Yeah. Good lord.
Hey, you can't deny the hand. It's going to say what it wants to say.
There was a chuckle amongst others in the room, swept up in the jovial mood of the evening, but Wilde did not laugh. He responded quietly.
At what date?
A few years from now, between your 41st and 42nd year. The partygoers laughed again.
Can I cut off the bad hand then? Wizard,
he grabs,
cut off the bad hand.
He grabs a knife. No, Jesus. What a joke. Take no notice, Oscar.
You wanted me to do it, you little f***. He totally breaks character.
That's such a snake friend thing to do. Yeah. He's like, yes, get your fortune read. Got your fortune read.
Yeah,
like knowing it's going to be a shit show.
But evidently shaken, Wilde turned to his friends, lifted his hands, and gravely repeated the warning.
The left hand is the hand of a king, but the right, that of a king who will send himself into exile.
Sure enough, at that very age stated, Oscar Wilde's downfall began. The high-profile libel trial that backfired, his imprisonment for gross indecency and his exile to Paris, leaving him sick and penniless, all seemed to prove Cairo's prophecy. It said that years later, Cairo ran into, quote, a strange, gaunt, broken figure in Paris.
Jesus, here, you poor son of a bitch. Have a franc to buy yourself a shave and some drugs or whatever you vagrants spend your money on.
Cairo! My God, don't you remember me? It's me, Oscar Wilde!
Oh, shit. Sorry, brother.
Cairo was heartbroken about how far this king had fallen. And as we've seen so many times in these kinds of discussions around people who have mastered a supernatural technique and then become almost celebrities in the field, he eventually went to America. It all kicked off when the New York World newspaper printed the headline.
Cairo Reed successfully the lives of the mayor and the district attorney.
Overnight, he was inundated with reading requests. Clients included Thomas Edison, Grover Cleveland, and William Peary.
Dozens of men that should have known better.
William Peary was the chairman of Harland and Wolff. Does that ring a bell, Rory?
Yeah, it does. What company is that?
Think of the big yellow cranes in Belfast.
Yes.
The company that built the Titanic.
There you go. God, those motherfuckers must have had one hell of a palm on them.
William Peary was warned he would soon be in, quote, a fight for his life. This has been interpreted to be a reference to the controversy surrounding the Titanic's sinking and the public backlash about it. Even skeptical visitors were impressed by his talents. One skeptic left a powerful quote in Cairo's guestbook. Cairo has exposed my character to me with humiliating accuracy. I ought not to confess this accuracy, and still I am moved to do so. Signed, Mark Twain.
Wow. So did he say what it was?
Nope.
Damn.
I don't know.
That would have been
maybe
funny.
He did in person. I don't know.
I would love it if he was...
He said I'm bitch made, which hurts to hear.
I would love it if he was reading the Titanic guy's palm and he's like, you have this one beautiful line that hits another line and then goes straight down.
Is that all? No, it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Ayo! It was fine when it left Belfast. That's all we'll say.
But where did Cairo's talents come from? And surely he wasn't alone in this mastery of hand jobs. Well, as you might expect, fortune telling or predicting someone's future by studying their palms is an ancient practice. It was found all over the Eurasian landmass and is thought to date back thousands of years. It was documented and even practiced by some of the ancient Greek philosophers and leaders from Anaxagoras to Aristotle and Alexander the Great, and probably existed even earlier than that across Sumer, Babylonia, Arabia, Canaan, Persia, India, Nepal, Tibet, and China. In many ways, the practice was considered a form of Samudrika Shastra, a process that analyzes a person's physical features to understand their character, destiny, and personality. So we can throw in palmistry, face reading, astrology, and phrenology, which is really fun that there's one of those that is fully cancelled. Because phrenology, I don't know if you remember.
No.
But this is where, this is like the Victorian shit where they would like study the shape of your head.
Oh,
to
no.
work out if you were like they just like, there's books, entire like fields of study where they were like, this is the face of a criminal. This is the face of an idiot.
Right.
This is the face of a genius. And it's all to do with like the shape of your head.
That's so problematic. Yeah.
Which is... honestly worth bringing up because it shows how like, I mean, like everything in life, there's like a line at which something is fine and something is problematic. I mean, you kind of referenced it earlier. This is why some people resent things like astrology is because they think it, you know, I think people who like astrology think it's empowering, but maybe someone who's less into it or doesn't understand it thinks that it's like takes personal agency away from someone, that it determines their life in a way that's not helpful. And this is a good example that palmistry, I suppose you could call it quite fatalistic and negative if it's, you know, predicting something that might not ever happen to you. But it's definitely not as bad as saying you've got a bump on your head. That means you're going to become a serial killer.
Right. Yeah.
You can quickly see why that would be a problem. And also that's not even getting into the fact that phrenology went hand in hand with racism.
Yeah.
Certain head shapes that might be associated with one race or nationality or another would then be maligned by white society.
Yeah, I think this was a pretty popular thing with the Nazis.
Sure.
So,
yeah, you know, the Nazis loved any technology that let them kind of justify the hatred and expulsion and elimination of a group they already didn't like. Oh shit, you're saying guys who have a big forehead? We can, oh shit, okay, nice. Hey, you should work for us, actually. That's some pretty great research you're doing over there, pal. But look, all of this sounds pretty airy-fairy, pretty up in the air. I think it will make a lot more sense to you and me and the listeners. We actually dive into exactly how it works because it isn't guesswork. There is a system. Because the hand is kind of made up into lines and pads and shapes, they essentially all just are associated with specific things.
Okay.
So let's look at a couple charts, diagrams to understand this. Consider this, ladies and gentlemen, palmistry 101.
Nice. Let me learn. Let me sit my ass down and you can teach me.
You actually kind of nailed it earlier on in a way that I forgot is true. That this might not be directly the same as astrology, but you're about to see the language is rather similar.
Okay.
Check out the first one. This is telling you about the basic lines of palmistry and what they mean.
Right. Kids, show me a diagram here where, look, even though every hand is different and the lines are different, we all kind of got the same ones. We got, if you're listening to this podcast, look down at your hand. First, we got the curves.
Not if you've taken 1,000 milligrams of edibles. Looking at your hands is kind of, you'll be there for 3 hours.
Yeah. Or
if you think about it too much.
Don't just look at your open hands if you're like holding an ice cream or a baby.
Or operating a forklift
or
something.
Or driving. Don't do that if you're driving.
Unless
you've
got one of those
place.
Self-driving cars, then please have at it.
The big curve one, just across from your thumb, headline. Here's the headline. This shit's not real.
Oh my God. You need to shut up. All right.
The one just above that, the other big one just above that is your heart line. You've got something called the girdle of Venus. You've also got the sun line, the mercury line, and the fate line, quite ominously.
And then you'll see how they intersect with the kind of mounds or pads of the hand. So it's like you have these lines and they intersect with different kind of spots on the hand. And that's like the mount of Saturn, the mount of Jupiter, lower Mars, upper Mars, the mount of Moon. So definitely very astrology coded language.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Rory, let's not f*** out. Let's just get right into it. I think we perform right now, myself on you, a palm reading. I do not know what I'm doing. Let me put that out there right now. This is not a... But what I do have is I have a... Thanks to researcher Ewan doing a great job on this. I do have a kind of introductory guide into some basics of how you might interpret some of these lines. So this is not a full palm reading. This is not a professional palm reading. This is an idiot just trying to glean some extremely basic insight. So apologies if this is your world. I'm sorry. I'll talk at the end of the podcast about how we might be able to do this more professionally and interestingly going forward. Let's do it, Roy. You ready to find out if you're going to die tomorrow?
I can't wait. Usually if we told people that Kit was going to give me a hand job on the podcast, we'd put it behind the paywall on Patreon.
I think a lot of the community have been waiting 8 years for that one.
But we are going to do it today.
Okay, I'm being told that we want to start with the heart line. That sounds like a very sensible place to start.
Okay. Now, I actually do have very big hands, so I think you got a lot to work with here. You got a big canvas.
How do you know you have big hands?
I can with my fingers hit an octave on a piano.
Okay.
That's like quite a long stretch.
I thought everyone could do that.
No.
Okay. Well, I could do that. That's fine. Well, it's not a competition. It's not a competition. I'm just wondering what the barometer for large hands is. That's okay. So we're talking about the heart line. This line is believed to indicate emotional stability, romantic perspectives, depression, and cardiac health.
All right, a bit of a catch-all.
All to do with the heart, with the feelings, let's say. Okay, I've identified Rory's heart line, and then there's a number of characteristics that can apply to it, which would give us some takeaways.
Is there like a money line or something you could see? A lotto line. So if we're just predicting the future and stuff, that would really help me.
I think we will get to kind of probably material wealth. I can see it coming up. I can see it coming up.
That's a line that just predicts the price of Bitcoin. It's a line on your hand that kind of wiggles up and down as it goes across the bottom.
This is everything you're saying is currently bad for the heart line, because you kind of want to skip the section on cardiac health and get to making money, which tells me kind of everything I need to know, I think. Okay, it looks as though Rory's heart line begins below the index finger, which equals content with love life.
There you go.
Well, you know, when
certainly had enough of them, monsters and demons.
When you're performing your own hand jobs, yeah, you're going to be pretty content. All right.
I know exactly what I want.
And then there's a couple other characteristics that can apply, like whether it intersects with another line or whether it's curvy or straight or parallel to another line. I would say, looking at what I'm looking at here, I would describe it as straight and parallel to the headline, which apparently means you have a good handle on your emotions.
Okay.
Which I think is fair.
Yeah.
That's the nicest thing I'm going to say to you today. I'm really trying to throw you under a bus here, but we're not getting anything yet. That's why we have to move on to the headline.
Okay.
Now, this one represents a learning style, a communication style, intellectualism, and a thirst for knowledge.
Watch it.
I can't locate your headline, so that might be kind of everything we have to say there.
There's no way. Which one's the headline?
Moving on. Oh, yeah, okay, show me your other hand in case we can see it more easily.
You want to check it on this one?
And angle it more towards the light so I can see it. It's quite hard. This shit's hard. Cairo was actually... He was good at this shit. Yeah, maybe that's better. Okay, what I think is your headline, although I'm not sure, looks to me somewhat short, which would indicate that you might prefer physical achievements over mental ones. Does that sound fair to you?
What's a mental achievement?
Well, that's that answered.
Press an equation or something? I don't know.
You know, you're a physical guy. You hit the gym. You ran a marathon recently. That's a physical achievement, all right?
That's true. Yeah, I guess that's a safe assumption.
Although hard to say. Yeah, we do have a... what I might also describe as a curved sloping line, which is an inclination towards creativity, bordering on literature and fantasy.
There you go. That all makes sense.
That currently checks out. Rory, this is the one I think you care about. Show me one of those hands.
Woo!
We are going to look at, there's just two left. We have the life line. This line reflects physical health, general well-being, and major life changes. It says in bold, this length is not associated with how long you're going to live.
I was so sure you're going to say penis size.
I'm going to skip a lot of the stuff about your attitude towards life and get to the money section.
Let's go, baby.
Super frustratingly for me, I believe the fact that this line ends somewhere near your pinky finger equals success in business.
Let's go, baby.
Which pains me to say, to give you yet more compliments. I'm starting to worry that not enough of these are bad things that I was kind of hoping to throw your way.
Well, that's one way to make sure everyone loves getting their palm read. Is if every reading is like, you're amazing, you're smart, you're beautiful, and you're good at business. It's like, I actually am really into this. Yeah. Because that's even like astrology, isn't it? Kind of like, even the bad ones, they're kind of like Harry Potter houses, aren't they? Like even the bad houses are like, Slytherin basically means you are a evil little snake.
Right.
But they're like, in the description, it's like, you're sharp-witted. Yeah. You're quick and you know what you want. And it's like, no, you're a bastard. You're an evil little thing. And it's kind of like even the quote unquote, I don't think there are any bad star signs, but it would be like even the ones that are like, basically you're an angry, mean person. Or it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, you're confident. You know what you want. And you're not afraid to say it. You know? So maybe it's the same with palm reading. It's like, none of these lines are going to tell me I'm a dickhead. But they're going to say you're confident and assertive.
It's,
you know?
It's kind of true. I think, though, this is just speaking to, I do not know what I'm doing. I think sure. Someone who knows about this would be able to go really deeply into this. If I had to guess, I know a bit more about tarot than I know about this. I know that tarot, that is part of the misconception, right? Is that you have, let's say, death card, and that there are these really negative cards that seem negative on the outside, but actually it's to do with the orientation of said card. So actually every card in tarot has essentially, or every major arcana, if it appears upright, has a positive reading, or if it appears upside down, has a kind of largely negative reading.
Yeah.
So, you know, okay, seeing the death card isn't necessarily a bad thing. You kind of hear this in movies. It's like, oh, no, it is a misconception.
Yes.
If you see the death card, it could be a sign of rebirth and of, you know, the death of the old you and the rebirth of the beast and business warrior that is Rory.
Right.
But if it appears upside down, it is bad.
Yes. Yeah. There's
sometimes.
There's no way to fight that.
Depends. I don't know what it means for our investigation into palmistry today, Rory. It's a bit of a weird timing, honestly, because I've been reading a little bit about your hand, trying to read your future of happiness, wealth, and success, and love. My palms are looking a little interesting lately.
Ooh.
Check this out.
Yeah. Yeah, I did notice this before we started the podcast. We might have to blur that. That might be a little too grisly for YouTube.
It's really fine. It's just a cut on my hand, but it's healed like a week or two.
Yeah, kid has stigmata.
Yeah,
looks like,
kind of, honestly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of dramatic.
You made a new line.
It's like
I'll draw a money line if I have to.
It's like an inch and a half long. It's quite a big wound. I probably should have gone to A&E. But I don't know what this means for me. I've kind of carved a new line in my hand that intersects with a lot of the other lines and kind of has f***ed up whatever was happening there. It's definitely going to leave a scar.
How did this happen?
I like to wonder, yeah, like maybe the way you got it also infers some kind of astrological impact, to the line itself. I got it by skateboarding. I kind of went up a ramp to do a sweet 360 flip front foot catch, landed on the board, of course, because I don't miss tricks. But then, I don't know, it's like the ramp was
I did land hand first, though, unfortunately.
It's like the ramp was slidey or something. The board flipped out from underneath me. I dragged my way down the ramp a couple of feet and kind of dragged my hand along the outer wooden edge of the ramp, slicing it. Covering my t-shirt in blood, and now I've got a new line for a palm reader to read.
Which, hey, look, cutting your hand, ripping it open, that's a pretty bad thing. But like tarot cards, is there a good way to do it? Like the flip, like the reverse. As you said, the death card can be flipped and become a positive thing. Can you cut your hand and make a new line in a positive way too?
Interesting.
Something to think about.
So is that not my skateboarding line? Is
who knows?
You know, it slopes upwards. Does that mean that I'll be blessed with, as I say, front foot catch kick flips for the rest of my life? You know, I'm destined to never get wheel bite again, bombing a hill. I don't know.
Full disclosure, I did go to a tarot card reader recently and she flipped a card that was a picture of me getting resuscitated on the floor at a hot dog eating contest. And I said, it's upside down though. It's upside down. So does that mean I won? And she just shook her head.
She said, at what cost though? And I don't mean the $35.95 that it was to buy 9 hot dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Or the $200 it costs for me to flip this card. I guess we're yet to see with Kit how that affects your life.
Yet to see. I mean, I'll say, honestly, affecting currently pretty awesome ways. We recently got nominated for 3 British Podcast Awards.
That's
the
true.
Most we've ever been nominated for.
That's true. I just signed up for a hot dog eating contest next week. Things are looking up, brother, for both of us.
As soon as I win that, I'm going to use that cash prize to start a whole new life. I can see it now. Rory got the death card straight after the hot dog card. Yikes. You know, as I say, I'm sorry to be dropping in some pretty amateurish palm reading. I just wanted to illustrate a flavor of how it might work in a very amateur way that honestly is fun for you to try with your friend, with your loved one, with your family.
Yeah.
Check it out if it interests you. You know, as I say, I know less about this, but I do love tarot. And when I've done it with friends, people usually get something out of it, really enjoy it.
Hey, I can't throw stones in glass houses. I'm a big fan of the fortune cookie. That's really how I make all the big decisions in my life.
That's true. Yeah,
so,
you do.
So, yeah, who am I to judge others?
You know, talking about a topic like this on the podcast is a little tricky because, you know, something as broad as this, something as ancient as this, is kind of hard to sum up, especially in kind of TPL terms, like, you know, looking for hard evidence. It's like, I mean, the best we can kind of do is look at the likes of Cairo, at famous palm readers through history, and the trouble there is like, okay, sure, like he's had a couple quote-unquote hits in terms of predicting things, but we know from doing this podcast, predicting the future is kind of a chump's game. You know, we know how it works. The more vague you are, the more likely you are to get a hit. And it's also a numbers game. The same reason why the famous cartoon The Simpsons has accurately predicted so many moments over history is because they've just made thousands of episodes of
yeah.
the show.
Yeah, absolutely. It is interesting to think about a time where this was such a popular thing amongst the rich members of society.
Yeah.
This was kind of how they like indulged themselves. And I do find that quite like interesting. And it's a cool time in the world of the occult and the mystic.
Yeah. And I mean, I would go as far to say we're probably entering a renaissance of this. I think, you know, these things probably become popular, propagate during times when they are in opposition to the trends of the day. So
sure.
You know, if you live through a time of probably the Victorian era of mass industrialization, of increased scientific research and knowledge, people then for fun look to ancient Eastern wisdom.
Yeah.
Just as in the same way today, we kind of are increasingly living in a Jeff Bezos operated kind of post-capitalist nightmare hellscape, the celebrities do turn to alternative therapies, alternative healings. I mean, the popularity of, you know, it's like, find me a rich American celebrity who hasn't gone to Peru to take ayahuasca at this point. That is the modern day version of this. I mean, for Christ's sake, near TPL HQ, there's like a hipster, like crystal shop, right?
Yeah.
And like, this is like a cool thing for young people to do now.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool again. I'm going to start drinking mercury. I think.
Don't do that. Yeah.
That was one of the cool things it's people used to do in the past.
Literal poison.
I think it was to like keep you, it was like a potion of life or something.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
I know. And people drink silver. That shit, yeah, I will say that shit pisses me off. I heard someone talk about that recently. That I say this because I think someone years ago tried to convince my mom to like drink. They were like, drink, I think it's called colloidal silver. Yeah. Like,
oh my God.
It's like an alternative therapy thing that people, a lot of people believe in drinking silver. I think it turns you blue. I think yes. It turns your skin blue. You turn into a smurf and like eventually die of poisoning. So yeah, man, you gotta use, ask Grok, okay? Before you don't ask Grok, ask Google before you start drinking shit that someone tells you to drink.
Unless it is Lombardy, the liquid of the dead. If you ask Google, it'll tell you absolutely do not drink it, but it's fine.
Yeah, it is fine.
It's fine.
To be clear, it has been fully FDA disapproved. It has been, it did not pass approval for the FDA, but that's fine. Because you know what else they don't approve of? Chumbies.
Yeah.
North Korea's favorite cereal.
That cereal will turn you blue.
Yeah.
It'll kill you. Turn you into a corpse.
Make your heart stop. Turn you blue. Guys, this is the end of our investigation. I should, before we end, just explain how Cairo's life ended. He lived a pretty wild life. His Wikipedia page is kind of the best thing that an Irish person can hope to attain. It says, born Ireland, died in Hollywood.
Hell yeah.
That's when you know you lived a rock star exo-tour life. He kind of lived out his years being the most famous practitioner of palmistry in America. And in one final dramatic twist, it said that Cairo was able to predict his own death to the day and hour. His nurse claimed that when he died at 1 o'clock, the clock struck ominously 3 times.
What?
I think they mean like it were like dong, dong, dong.
At 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Why?
I think because it was magic.
Oh, right. Okay. I just needed that little explanation.
Shit, bro.
Right. Okay.
Rory, it is as simple as that. We have talked about Cairo, a pretty cool kind of Cher or Prince style one word name for an Irish person to give themselves to make them sound kind of more mysterious than William. But a guy lived a pretty interesting life, and through his life we've been able to trace the last kind of 150 years of palmistry in the West, at least. Of course, it is still practiced to this day, even in hipster crystal shops.
Yeah, you know, I talk about this thing like it's an ancient art that doesn't exist anymore, but that's not true, because I'm sure a lot of people who even listen to this podcast have been to a psychic before, or gone to have their palms read, or had tarot readings as well.
Mm.
So, you know, this thing still exists in new, probably, yes, more hipstery forms, but very cool to dive back and see its origins.
Rory, I know where we're going with this, because at the end of every episode of This Paranormal Life, we do have to decide whether we think a given case is genuinely paranormal, genuinely supernatural, or not. Hey, I've teed you up. I know these kind of things, the scrying, the necromancy, the pyromancy, these things are all difficult to pin down. But if you have to give it a yes or no today, what are you saying about palmistry?
I think I can sum this one up by using my hand. Thumbs down. It is a no from me this week, unfortunately.
That is such a cancer thing to say. That is such a cancer thing to say. But me, a Virgo, also gives it a no, ultimately. Call it ignorance, guys. I'm sorry if this is your world that it feels like we're pooping all over.
Just not for us.
I'm just not sure. So a tough one, but I think still really worth diving into.
Yeah.
If you can convince us differently, please do. Email us into thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. That is our official inbox if you want to give us a tip, if you want to give us a personal story, or just simply a suggestion for a future episode. That is the email inbox, thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. And let us know. I think we should use our Patreon-exclusive weekly podcast, The After Party, to do a palm reading session for real with a real person. And we could do it and then talk about it on the after party.
I like this.
I haven't got it like booked in at the time of recording here, but I think that would be a fun thing to book in, do, and then talk about it on the show.
We can compare our hands. I like it.
Yeah. And see if either of us are going to die young, and then we can take out appropriate insurance policies.
Very clever. I see your money line's working.
Yeah, my new money line. Heyo. As I say, the after party is over on patreon.com. The link is in the description of this pod or in our social links. Go check it out. As I say, as little as $5 gets you access to everything. Not everything, but there's different tiers. But it gets you access to hundreds of bonus episodes, that's for sure.
Yes, you know, and talking about the Patreon does make sense thematically with today's case, because Kit and I are on our hands and knees with our palms open.
Right.
our hands are open, all right?
Please,
because
please.
This is the only way that this show can exist. It's the only way that we can afford to make it every week and have this nice studio and do things like go on tour and visit people all across the US, UK, Canada, and Ireland. So
please.
Yeah. This is the,
please if, you, give us
if you've ever seen the communist Bugs Bunny meme, our money, our, when it comes to the end of the podcast, it's our money, please.
And we don't even need a lot. Just like kind of just shake your, empty your pockets. We take buttons, lint, crumbs,
yeah,
half eaten sandwiches.
Got a lot of lint though at the moment. So
kinda
it's
whatever.
Not the priority kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, we actually have enough lint. We've started making sweaters ahead of winter. But it is true. It's a great place to support the show. That's how we've been keeping going for 8 years. How nuts is that?
Community funded.
Community funded indeed. And a reminder, those UK tour dates are coming up expeditiously. Come see us in the UK or Ireland this October, this Halloween.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The venue is basically the live shows. You walk in. It's one in, one out. So you go in, you put your hand through a curtain and lose everything valuable that was on that hand. Your watch is gone, ring gone, and then we kick you out and the next person comes in. That's how the live show is going to work. I was like, yeah, I can predict your future. You just lost a ton of money. See you next.
I feel like you're painting the live shows potentially in a bad light.
Not bad for us.
Yeah, well, not much is clear. guys, we cannot wait to do those live shows. We cannot wait to hopefully at some stage we will drop one of the live podcasts we've recorded here. So if you were not able to make it, you can hopefully eventually see that show as well. I know not everyone lives in the 10 to 15 cities that we've toured this year.
Yeah, that's going to be on our tombstone when we die. Born in Ireland, performed oral across America. Yeah.
To die doing what they love. Die doing what they love. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week. We are going to be back on Friday on Patreon with the after party. Later in the month with the monthly bonus episode on Patreon too. But of course, like clockwork, you don't need to read a palm to predict this one. We will be back next Tuesday too with another brand new Paranormal Tale.